Okay, so we are Rishmim Vav Sif Zayin. So Rishmim Sif Zayin is actually, and even gets inserted into the Torah admits it by inserting the title into the passage here, where he's quoting the Rambam Perek Dami Hilchot Tamat Torah, and here he goes. Ein olam divrei Torah l'tamad hagim na b'maisav olatam. That one should not teach Torah except for somebody who is hagun, is fit for it, and that he has nice actions, olatam, or a simple individual. Right, aval hayah holis b'darach lo tova matzi, period. So just as a side, where did he get that from? So the Beis Yosef here says, right, perish, she'im baro lanu, I mean, what is a tam? A tam is we just don't know who he is. The lamad came, where did we get the salacha from? Me damirim perak tzvios ha-shachar, from the fourth parak of Baruch Lashai, Ramah Gamliel, machris kol tam ha-chacham, she'im tochu kabaro, el yichanes l'beis ha-medrish. Basik nahasam shelo yiskim al yada. Right, so that's the story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Well, not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari became elected Nasi, and what was the first thing that they did? So they got rid of the people who were guarding the entrance. Right, it was Rabbi Gamliel's rule before him was anybody who's not Tuchu Kabara, which means on the good side, so he wouldn't be allowed in, and he changed it that we would allow anybody in. Unless he's not Pasidic, because there's another Gemara that seems to that indicates that if you teach, well, the Torah is about to quote it. By holding for derech lo tova, masirin osel lemuta, v'matikin osel v'derech yisharas. So you should get him onto the right path. V'botkin osel after half matisin osel beis medrash, and then he comes to the base medrash, and you'll go ahead and teach it.
But how is it possible to even know what the path is if you don't learn Torah? It's a little hard for me to figure out what he's saying. I mean, if you take someone who doesn't, is doing the wrong thing. Okay, you can't learn Torah. So how is he ever going to know what the right thing is?
I think it means not coming. I mean, we were talking about a yeshiva. I mean, you know, Rabbi Gamliel's time, somehow people had to know what to do without coming to yeshiva.
They already knew something.
That would be my impression. So you could teach him outside of the realm of yeshiva. But we're talking about teaching real, you know, intense Torah, I think. That's where it's problematic. That seems to be what the issue is based on what's going on. So the Torah says, Amrucham kol ha-shana l'tamad she'enu ha-gun ki'ilu zorek evan l'makulis, that it also says, this is a Gemara in Maseches Chulin, that anybody who teaches Torah to somebody who is not hagun, so as if you throw in a stone to Markulis, shana amar, right, ketzvor evan b'margama, kein nosin l'chseel kavod, that just as someone puts a stone in a sling, so too they are giving a fool honor. So what is kavod? So vein kavod el Torah, shana amar kavod chacham yin chavod, that the honor of the chacham they will inherit. So how do you put the two of those together? The person who you're not supposed to teach is somebody who is eno hagun, but if there are tam, they're in the middle, so then you would be okay. But what's going on here? So in the prisha at the bottom, in Yud Ches, so what is this idea of throwing a stone at Markulis? Why is that? So on the second, at least in mine, in the second column, the second half of the prisha in Yud Ches, so it starts with words about kavana. Just as somebody who's throwing a stone at Markulis, so that is the way of the avoda. That's how you serve the avoda zara of Markulis. So avshem mechavim v'daito lasos mitzvah, dainu lavzos avoda zara, that even if you had kavana to do a mitzvah, the hainu, which is to be mevazeh, to degrade the avoda zara, v'zrikas avadim, by throwing a stone at it, mikol makom os avera, you've done a avera, because that's actually the way to serve it. So gam kein zeh, so to this. Or even though it seems like you're doing a mitzvah in terms of teaching one Torah, mitzvah ha-ba-bi-aveira, it qualifies as a mitzvah ha-ba-bi-aveira and therefore inappropriate to do. So that is the issue of Zion. We'll cover a little bit more of that in the, in the Shulchan Aruch itself. While we're here, let's just do Ches as well. So Ches is, v'chein harav she'eno holich b'derech tova. So too, just as you have an issue with a Talmud that is not going in the right path, so too you might have a problem with a Rebbe who is not going in the right path. So afal pisha chacham gadol hu, even though he is a chacham gadol, v'chol ha'am srichim lo, and everybody wants him or needs him, meaning he is son. So that's actually a terminology from the Gemara itself, that everybody, that they need him to teach them something. So in lamda mimenu achi yachshul muzav, you can't learn from him until he returns to that the lips of the Kohen are Yishmaru Das, or watch knowledge, the Torah, and Torah comes from the mouth, because they are like Malachim. So Amru Chacham, Im Doma Harav L'Malach Hashem Tzavachus, if your Rebbe appears like a malach to you, Yivaksh Torah Mipihu, you should request Torah from their mouth. But if not, Al Yivaksh Mipihu, so one, you should not be requesting Torah from their mouth. So this is the idea of a Rebbe being Doma L'Malach Hashem Tzavachus. I remember once coming across in the YU library, these recordings of, I think after the Rav passed away, so they had Shloshim, I think every Rosh Hashiva gave their recollection one night, so there's like an hour recollection from each Rosh Hashiva. So I remember listening to one from Rav Shechter, where he commented about this, that the Rebbe is supposed to be like a Malach Hashem Tzavakos, and when the Rav was giving Shir, it was as if the Malachim of Hashem were sitting right next to him, approving of the Shir. And then he just started crying. And then, like, the tape ends, and you have to go take volume 2, which is one that, his was the only one that had 2 cassettes, because there was this interruption. Okay, so to go to the Shulchan Aruch itself, so in the Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Zion, so he changes the language a little bit, which I found interesting. He just says, in malamdin Torah l'talmud she'eino hagun, as opposed to the way the Torah had and the way the Rambam had it, was in malamdin Torah ela l'mi, except for one who is average or good. Here it's, just don't teach someone who is bad, which seems like a more straightforward way of saying it. But anyways, el masirin oso l'mutav, rather return him. U'madhigin oso b'derach yishara, and leave him on the right path. U'bodkin oso b'achrakach maslisin oso l'beis medrashim malamdin oso. Then you'll examine him. And then you'll bring him into the base medrash, and you'll be able to teach him at that point. So that's pretty much a straight quote of the from the Torah, which is a straight quote from the Rambam. But what is the concern here? Why are we so nervous? What are we so nervous about? So there is a comment that I saw, so quoted, and the people actually have it, and that is from the Parish of the Gra on Mishlei. So one of the answers given is that the Gra comments, he says, "V'chein hu b'Torah haba min hashemayim." So too with Torah when it comes from the heavens. Osepulaso shetatzmiach mashivulivo. That the job it does is that it strengthens that which is already in the heart. So imlibo tov tagdil yiraso. So if the heart is good, so then the yiras shemayim will grow. V'imchas v'shalom b'libo poresh shoresh rosh v'lana. But if it's not that, if that's not the case, so then it's going to is going to bring you down. So yichashel od bahagosav ba v'yigdil hatina asher belibo. So you will continue to fall, and it will the hatina is, I think, is mud, and the mud will grow in your heart ad asher malas sirton, until it is a sandbank, until it continues to block. So if your heart is not in the right place, the Torah will actually be will be hurtful rather than harmful, which is an interesting idea. How that would apply today? Maybe I'm not sure it really does apply today with the type of rishayim or people that we would interpret as eino hagun. It's unclear whether that's really a type of person that we would have today. But that's idea number one. Another idea that the quoted here in the Pesachim Chuvos is that because the Rebbe will get overly frustrated, that don't teach somebody who is not hugun because it's not worth it to you. It's not worth it for the Rebbe. It's going to bring out the worst of the characteristics of the Rebbe. And the third possibility is that they will, it will be mocking you. You're just giving them fodder by having somebody in who's not interested in, well, to figure out who this person qualifies as. But to try to teach such a person, you're going to end up just giving them material in order to mock the Torah, and therefore that's not a appropriate thing to have either. Fine. So who is this? So who then qualifies as this? Who is considered somebody that is Eino Hagun? So the first example that he gives here is Heinrich Gagon She'ein b'kavanaso l'kayim ha'shalomi, that he doesn't have in mind to use that which he's learning. Right? He's just not to practice that which he's learning. So that's interesting. I mean, so where does that go? Does that mean that one should, a person who is drives on Shabbos. You shouldn't teach them Hilchos Shabbos. You shouldn't teach, like, how does that, where does that, we normally assume that hopefully they will. So I think our assumption with going with people is that even though they are coming to learn, and the hope is that they will continue to grow and then eventually use. They're not saying I will absolutely never use what you're learning. It's just I'm not there right now, but they're okay learning it. But there is an interesting comment here that the Aruch HaShulchan makes. And that is, and in his interpretation, it wasn't what it means to be somebody that is Eino Hazon. So he says, fine. So right. So he says what is tohu kabaro? So I was trying to figure out where I had this before. So he says we pass like Rav Elazar ben Azaria, who even somebody who is not tohu kabaro, one would still allow into yeshiva. So what is it? So then he invokes a Gemara Maseches Yuma where he says tohu what is ein tohu kabaro is somebody who is kashein bo yerushamayim. Somebody who doesn't have yerushamayim. So that means that we're allowing somebody in who doesn't have yerushamayim. Right, but he says Barei Vad, but that guy is Eino Hagun. So right, the Inya came who that time the Ein Malavdin La Eino Hagun. Maybe should the Yomot Shelo Lishma. Okay, and he also, and what's the problem? The issue. The issue is with teaching somebody that's Eino Hagun is that he's learning Shelo Lishma. But yet we also learn, right? Kaimalon the Yomot Af Shelo Lishma Shemitok Shelo Lishma Balishma. So we have an idea of teaching somebody even if they're not learning Lishma. So are we going to where are we drawing the line? So he says, "Amnar Avasin Bali Tosus of Selchem." This is Aruch HaShulchan Rishman Vav Siv Chaf Aleph. Says Chilku Bein Maimer Zeh Vima Sheamru Sham Da Lomit Shalul Ishma Noach Lo Shalul Nivra. Says that on one hand we have this the Gemara in Maseches Selchem that says Mitok Shalul Ishma Bal Ishma. On the other hand, we have a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, I believe. He doesn't quote where it's from, but I believe that's where it is. That if somebody who learns Shalul Ishma Noach Lo Shalul Nivra, they're better if he would never have been created. So Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim asks that question, right? Is it, are we saying it's better to learn not lishma, or is it better not to? It says v'chilku bein lomar shelo lishma ela l'shem ezu kenia debezem mustad v'meshach hazman yavu lishma. He says that I'm not learning shelo lishma means I'm not learning specifically for sake of what exactly lishma Torah means. It's an interesting question, but whatever it means, I'm learning it for a specific reason. But yet, that will lead me to learning it lishma. But somebody who said Ovein Lomar Lekanter Debezen Noach Lishma Lenivra, as opposed to somebody who is opposing it, he's the guy that's better that they not have been created here. So Vitzorach Lomar Gan King Kans, we would give the same shot over here. Somebody who is not Hagun is somebody who is. Who is against it and only going to use the material as fodder to go against the Torah. Fine. So who is this? Who is the guy that is Eino Hagun? So he actually in the second two is quote something from the Chazon Ish where he says, yeah, somebody who's Eino Hagun, but you wouldn't consider anybody to be Eino Hagun until they're at least 17 or 18. Right? So using this sif in Shulchan Aruch as a way of keeping children out of yeshiva or kicking them out of yeshiva, saying, oh, well, you're Eino Hagun, so get out of here. So that's not really going to be usable. You know, a person can't establish themselves as an Eino Hagun until that point. The reason to kick them out beforehand might be because they're hurting other people, right? So which we got into before. But just simply saying, oh, you're Eino Hagun, so it seems like that would not be sufficient to keep them out. So then there is a tshuva from Rav Moshe, who says, okay.
Nowadays, I assume I don't kick people out because it's disruptive or something.
Nowadays,
I don't
No, it's not. Well, first of all, not because we don't pass in that way. We also, even somebody who is what you call eno hugon, that they're sort of in that, whatever this category is. So we first wouldn't qualify that until they're probably adding shu anyways, until 70, 18, in which case they're adding anyways. So Rav Moshe has an issue about what about teaching a whole class or in a school where they are, by definition, eno hugon. And the example, the Shiloh specifically is, what about teaching in or running a non-Orthodox Hebrew school?
Mm-hmm.
So he says to be a principal, the way he qualifies it as, it's not good. I can't say it's aser, because if they place you in charge and they allow you to daven as you see fit, gamshi is a makom acher lo beisaknes shalhem, maybe and not you don't have to use their shul, you can use someplace else. But chen in mochen, therefore I'm not going to protest against those that do it for parnasa, right? They need to make the money, but still I don't think it's good, right? But chen in rak mitzad tzorach parnasa in mochen b'zeh. But if you don't need the money, and you want to just take it because you think you'll be helpful, so I don't think that's the best idea. And then he concludes by saying, he says, and if you say, well, I want to do it l'shem shemayim, I want to be able to get to reach these children. Yesh harbe lasos im yiladim im nei beis hakneses shel elu hamisnagim kishura. That you'll have the opportunity, if you can start your own thing or in your own Orthodox school, you'll be able to get other children in, but you shouldn't accept that job. I mean, there'll be opportunities for you to be able to do that type of work without being the head, but if you need it for the money, I'm not going to tell you that you can't do it for the money.
I don't allow it for the money, but not otherwise.
What?
He would only allow it for the money.
That's the sense. Well, not for the money, he would say, Ein Ruach HaChamim Lo Chamisa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says, well, you think you'll be able to have influence. Rosh says, yeah. You'd better to have influence in another scenario. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that in this tshuva, or that was in the other one? Right. It says even if you're very good. Where was it here? Right. Now, first of all, you could be influenced. And even if you're not concerned about yourself, that you'll be close with Kofrim. People, and Chazal is very nervous about staying away. Even if it's a very small chashash, you'll be able to watch yourself to make sure that you're teaching the right thing. There is a concern. And even if he's very strong, other people will permit for themselves. They're not going to be as strong as you. So that is the other concern. There are some as well, this sifva, not teaching those that are ino hagun. So there are those that quote this as invoke this as being the issue of teaching Torah to non-Jews as well. Where is that? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga about not teaching Torah to non-Jews, and the Tosfos there explains, yeah, it's based off of a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin where it says that any non-Jew who learns Torah, so they're Chayv Misa. So so therefore you're in violation of Lifnei Iver if you're the one that goes ahead and teaches them. So that halacha is not found anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So some quote that this is that halacha. If you can't teach to a Jew, then certainly you shouldn't be teaching to non-Jews. Of course, the whole story about meeting the cardinal in the base medrash from the cardinal. Yeah. Okay. So what?
I don't remember all the details, but I do remember
details. Right. Okay. Anyways. So Rav Moshe also discusses this issue of not teaching the Torah to non-Jews. However, he bases it off of another halacha. This is actually like the next one after, or two after. the one from Rav Svei about the teacher that we talked about last week. But in Siman Pei Tes in Chelek Gimel in Yeridei, so he said he quotes the Gemara Maseches Chagiga. Why did they leave it out? That once there's a prohibition of teaching Torah to an Eved Kanani, which is elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch, so certainly you wouldn't need to, you don't need this halacha. So Rav Moshe doesn't include under this din, he includes it under a different din in Hilchos Abadon. And then he asked, wait a second, what about the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama, where the two people, where the two Romans came and said, you have to teach us all the Torah? And he says, yeah, that they put a gun to their head and said, you better teach us. So a person doesn't have to give up their lives. A person's not it's not the Horeg Valyavra to teach them. But he shouldn't. He says, and also, Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, you should teach them, but the other halachos, you shouldn't. But still, Shalom is not so good to publicize this, so hopefully they won't find this on YU Torah.
I even saw an opinion that Lot's original purpose of going to Sodom was to straighten
that. Makar, okay, that didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
Someone told me that there was this idea, a lot of rabbis and, half a century ago or before that, went to synagogues that had mixed seating, saying, we'll split it. I heard the only person ever successful was Riskin. Now, there are other places that have, like, for instance, the Teaneck Jewish Center today became a Orthodox place. There are Utopia, there's in my neighborhood in Hillcrest, there's Utopia Torah congregation that became, but there it was like, there was an annex that was an ortho that eventually took over. That wasn't really that there was a rabbi sent there to flip it around.
That's the same as you have a year if you can get him
to. He might give it a year. Even more recently, there's a rabbi now in Stanford, Rabbi Cohn in Stanford. He was sent to Denver. There was a traditional congregation in Denver and was given, I believe, 5 years, I think. I went there as a Torah. I was sent by YU to Torah there once for Simchas Torah, and there was a Mechitza Minyan that was also in the building, but within a year or two he was out. He didn't work out there. So
when I was a kid, there was actually even Orthodox Jews didn't have good Mechitzas. In fact, the men had any. The men on one side, the men on the other. And nothing in between. I think the only the Jewish center in Beach might have been something like that. There was a shul in Brighton Beach, which was Rabbi Leo's Rabbi Schiller, and he was never able to get them to put a better machitza, and he died young.
Uh-huh.
And then came Rabbi Brenton, have you ever heard of Brenton?
Uh-huh.
Pretty famous. And he basically made him feel like it was because of that the guy died. he got another hit to put in.
Okay. Okay. That
was an Orthodox Jew anyway.
Right. Right. My first cousin job was in a place, I don't even know if the place still exists, I went there a couple of weeks before on a tryout interview or whatever, and the person showed me the place. It says, you might be concerned that the mechitza is a little low. It wasn't so bad, but the mechitza is a little low. We were assured that it fulfills every requirement of mechitza in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say anything about mechitza in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Anyways, so that was Sif Vav. What about Sif Zayin? So Sif Zayin is the story of, just as the Talmud has to be Hagun, so too the Rebbe has to be Hagun. So in Sif Ches, it says Chayiv Harav she'eno holik b'derech tova. Afal pi shechacham gadol hu b'chol am tzrichim lo ein lamed mimenu ad sheyachzor l'mutav. Even though he's big chacham and he's needed, so don't learn from him until he returns for the best. So this comes. There's a Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan where it tells some of the story here. So that's the Shach tells some of the story here. I meant to bring the Gemara, but it's okay. So the Shach here says Dinza Nilma miperek ilu megalchem, the third parak where it talks about the laws of. Third paragraph talks about laws of Avelos, included in there are some of the laws of Cherem, the laws of Nidui. So it says there, Deshamtuhu lahut sur mirabanan, dischayev Nidu, that they put in Cherem this rabbi who needed Nidui. And afal gav dahavu tzrichilei, even though they needed him, I'm not sure what it meant that they needed him. They needed him to give one of the shiurim. He sounded like he had information that others didn't have. So even though the rabbanan needed him, why? Mishum d'amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my d'chsiv sifsei kohen yishmeru das, near quotes this pasuk. What does it mean that the lips of the kohen will keep knowledge of Torah Yivakshu Mipi, Yikamalach Hashem Tzavakos, who im doma harav l'malach Hashem Yivakshu Torah Mipihem, v'imlav ayivakshu Torah Mipiv, that if he seems to be like the malach, so you should request Torah, and if not, you shouldn't. So there he's out. And what was the thing that he did? So the Mefarsh, I think Rashi there says that he was suspected of Gilui Arayos. He was suspected of having an affair. So often these types of discussions get into, yeah, well, okay, he sinned. He had a Yitzhara. But it doesn't, why should that keep him from teaching Torah? So that Gemara that is being quoted Lahalacha seems to be talking about somebody who succumbed to a sin. And it was that because it was Yitzhara, it wasn't like a philosophical issue. It was just a Yitzhara, and that already, it sounds like that's enough to bar him. So the Kasha Perakam de Chagiga, so the issue is that there's a Gemara Meseches Chagiga, which is, from what daf do you have it quoted on in there? Do you have it?
It says Tezva.
The Kasha, it says Perakam de
Chagiga.
Oh. It says daf. Okay, so it probably isn't... It's on that Tesvav on the base. It is misprint. Maybe that's also a misprint. Right? Amrina of Rebbe Meir, Heyech Lama Torah Miacher. That Rebbe Meir learned from Acher. Amar Rabbi Barbachan, Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Maidus, and he quotes this, the Gemara Mesachs and Moikatan. And Amar, he says, Amar Leish Bakish, Amar... Well, Amar Reish Lamed. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir, Kra Eshkach V'darash. That he found the pasuk and he quoted it, that he raised his ears and listened to Rishon Chachamim, the Libcha Tatsim Ludati Ludaitam Ludemar Elodaiti Kashu Krayadani. Right, so we have this pasuk that he quotes there that seems to imply that where there's knowledge, you should go and seek it, even if the person is not such a great guy. He's Acher. So the Gemara answered there, Meseches Chagiga, Lo Kasha, Haba Gadol, Haba Katan. One's by a Gadol, one's by a Katan. Now, what does it mean, one by a Gadol and one by a Katan? So it's, there's Shach quotes from Rashi, Gadol Hayudei Lizar B'maisav, Yafel L'Matar M'Pinat. Somebody who could be very careful can learn Torah from him. Uve'en Yaakov Perish B'Shem HaKidushim, then you know, in another way. So the Shach says, okay. So the Gemara itself asks that question. The Gemara resolves it, that there's a different halacha for a gadol than there is for a katan. So the Shach turns around and says, okay, Rambam, so why don't you distinguish between there being a gadol and there being a katan? So v'yesh lomar disfira leikam v'shakasam atosul sham, right, v'had darish perek basa d'mo katan v'sham tuhu, ikal l'meimar d'katanim havi d'girsei kamay v'chashin d'ilma makshiv, Dilma Mamshachai, that there is a concern, maybe there'll be, I guess, young people there, and they might...
Well,
Ketanim
here means someone who's not
on the level of mayor. Right, I understand. Ketanim Dilma Mamshachai, right, that there's a concern that maybe there were Ketanim around. So, Im Kein Chazina, Da'afi Mehashas, Hayu Ketanim, that even during time of the guard, there were Ketanim, the Chol Shekeim is Manazet, but certainly today there is Manazet. Shekulam Nechshurim Ketanim, we're all considered Ketanim. Moshe Kasav Yim HaRishonim B'nei Adam Anu Chichamorim, V'lo Chichamorim Shal Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, V'chulei V'im Kein is Manazet, Ein Chilut. Nowadays there's no distinction. So Shach says, we're all Ketanim. That's why none of the Rishonim quoted that distinction, because none of us qualify as being on the level of Rabbi Meir. And then he quotes from Vagon, I don't know who that is. Alf Mem Bav. Do you?
Yeah,
okay. Teretz Sfira Leidin Amar Reish Lakish Rei Meir Kra Eshkach Lachulei. Right. Mashma the Rei Meir Sfira Lei Hachi. But on Lokaimel and Kavase, he says that's nice. That's Rei Meir Shita. But guess what? We don't pass like Rei Meir. Rei Meir felt that he it's okay. It's appropriate for him to go and learn from. And learn from Acher, so that's nice that he tried that, but we don't listen to that. We don't pass and like him, and therefore we don't do that. So that is that seems to be the Psak. So a couple of years ago, the OU magazine ran a whole issue about the issue of rabbis sort of going off the derech, and had an interview with Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter, like three questions and three answers. Rav Shechter was asked about this, and he said, "Yeah, you can't learn from them. You can't learn from any of their svarim anymore." What?
I thought it might be based on this. My foot was this.
It was soon after that incident that took place. So he said, because they're, even if their svarim have nothing to do with that, it's still svarim are being guided. I mean, the person is making comparisons and they're trying to make answers and trying to make chilukim, and those chilukim are going to be persuaded by their inclination. Therefore, they shouldn't be learned. He says, what about Jastrow? Right? Shouldn't Jastrow be okay? Shouldn't Jastrow be a problem also? Well, Jastrow wasn't from. But he says, yeah, Jastrow is just translations. He's not giving you his own. Hopefully, he's just calling balls and strikes. Right? He's not poskening in any way. But any time trusting their judgment in any way is going to be inappropriate, whether they're in their whether Balpeh or even Besefer. That's not so clear. Here he quotes Machlokas about that issue. Maybe you shouldn't just learn from them in person, but you could still learn from their Svarim. Rav Schachter felt that too seemed to be inappropriate, but there are those that disagree. Can a person ever achieve tshuva? So that Gemara, Maseches Moed Katan, has that guy attempting to do tshuva later on, again reinstated, and he was rejected. He was rejected later on. It seems like he backtracked, he did this one, that's it. So he was rejected by the person he went and requested a reinstatement from. So how does that mean? It's over? At what point can a person come back? So a couple of years ago, I think it gave a Shabbos Shuvah, already like 6, 7, 8 years ago already, a Shabbos Shuvah drasha on the topic of this kind of thing. And I think it's really up to the people that there's a Mishnah in Maseches Makos about a Rebbe who has to go to a Ir Miklat, he goes to the Ir Miklat. So then he comes back. So does he regain his position again? So that's a Shaila that the Mishnah discusses. It sort of leaves you hanging. I think there's a Rambam, there's a Nosei Kalim on the Rambam that seems to say, ultimately, that the community decides. How does the community decide? So there's not really an objective standard. It's a standard the community looks at him, and are we comfortable having this person be put back into a leadership role or not? That's true. But there's other things that perhaps are lesser issues are then on the borderline. Yeah, or perhaps one can make a case even, if a rabbi has an affair, so does that mean that his life as a rabbi is over? Maybe, that's sort of a decision that a community would have to make, and communities have had to make that. Some of them have taken them back, and some of them don't. Okay.
The end of Jastrow's introduction?
No, I've never read the beginning of it either, but maybe I will. Take a look at it? Okay.
At the end, it almost sounds like he's thinking about Shuva.
Uh-huh.
It's just a spiritual facts of having completed his work cannot be described or something.
Well,
exactly,
all right.
What he's saying, I can't. You can't come.
I do have a Jastrow right above my desk. I'll try to take a look.
I think it's a different, maybe. Right. Not a different way.
Okay.